Shooting USA podcast back for 2013. We've laid off for the holidays. I hope everybody had a pleasant Christmas and a happy new year. Wishing everybody a prosperous and happy 2013. We're busy around the office here preparing for SHOT Show. That's going to be a big undertaking. New product releases and video support from us for Smith & Wesson. We got a new commercial going together for Ithaca and doing things like that to support the sponsors of the show, the guys that make sure that we have what we need to bring you Shooting USA every week. And a couple of other interesting notes. Outdoor Channel has made more room for the Shooting USA Hour. You'll see us Friday night and on Saturdays. So new times, check your local listings for that. Exciting, exciting stuff. Also look for SHOT Show editions of the Shooting USA podcast. We're going to be doing daily podcasts, multiple podcasts a day. We're going to be doing them live from the Smith & Wesson booth. So we're going to be bringing in top Smith & Wesson shooters, executives, people of interest to get their take on what they're seeing at the show and talk new products. So that's going to be the quickest way for us to get you the content from the SHOT Show floor. And as always, we're doing our one-hour special for the Shooting USA show. But there's a couple of weeks of turnaround in that. It is the fastest turnaround with regard to a Shooting USA show that we do. We're literally in edit with that as soon as we get back to Nashville. And then we deliver it to the network, and there's a lead time. So that's kind of where the pause occurs. But we'll have all of the breaking news as it happens live from the Smith & Wesson booth on the SHOT Show floor on the Shooting USA podcast. So today I've got an interesting guest. The mailman brought me my January-February edition of the Front Sight magazine, and right there on the cover, none other than your limited division world champion from the USPSA, Blake Magez. So I've got him set for call in here momentarily. So while we wait for Blake to get on the phone, we can talk grip strength training. I'm continuing to excel there using the Captains of Crush into the 1.5 as my goal gripper, as they say. I have the Model 1 as my repping gripper now, and it's an interesting thing. It's easy to overtrain, and I've said this before, and I have to be very careful. And they warn you about this when you get into it. You have to be very careful about how often your grip strength training, and you need to treat it just like a major muscle group that you would exercise in the gym. You wouldn't go to the gym every single day and do back or go into the gym every single day and do, heavy bench press, and you have to treat these exercises the same way. So I've started to get the feel for how often I can train them, and it's, generally heavy about 3 times a week max. But I'm starting to see some real gains, and that's exciting. That's exciting stuff. And let's see, separate from that, it has finally turned cold here in Nashville, and we got our first little bit of snow, nothing really to write home about as far as it's sticking, but we have gotten a good hard ground freeze, and that's different from the winter we experienced last year. So it'll be interesting to see how we make through the rest of January and into February, because if we do get any accumulation of any kind of snow, it becomes madness here on the roads. So apart from that, very relaxing holiday season, and we usually close our office for the week between Christmas and New Year's, which is neat to do, and we're very fortunate that we're able to get ourselves in a position where we're enough ahead that we can take that week off, and so it's good for everybody to get out and kind of recharge their batteries this time of year. So in other news, 2013 marks 20 years of Jim Scouten bringing you reporting from the shooting sports, the first shooting sports dedicated television show hit air 20 years ago on ESPN, of all places, if you can stand that. Jim's designed a new 20-year commemorative challenge coin. That image is out on the show Facebook page as well as ShootingUSA.com. And he's continuing to dig up old photography and newspaper articles and different things about that take us all the way back through the 20 years of shooting sports television, originally American Shooter and now Shooting USA. So it's fun to watch that stuff kind of develop and become unearthed, because I remember all of it. I was involved in all of it. I was there on day one, you know, toting sandbags and pushing a broom and moving lights and carrying tripods and other stuff like that. So 20 years of doing this stuff, it's unprecedented, and it's good. It's a good thing. And just like that, folks, as promised, national champion Blake Magez is with us on the podcast. Welcome, Blake.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you? I know it's a busy day. I caught you in and out of meetings and everything else. So just wanted to touch base. I got the new Front Sight magazine here, and you're the cover boy. Have you seen it yet?
No, I hadn't seen the magazine. I had it on Facebook. I saw a post of my guest on there.
Yeah.
Looking good, right?
Yeah, as always, man. So that's a good place to start. Why don't we talk about the equipment from Handgun Nationals this year?
Yeah, I had I got a new gun from Kai Customs, Shay over there. I told him I didn't want to shoot a brand new gun right before Nationals, but we went ahead and went for it anyway. About a month out, he sent me a gun. We started, you know, working it, tweaking it, shooting on the range, getting it broke in. I got one of my two guns broken in, about 5,000 rounds in. I said, let's go try it out in Nashville. It's been performing on the practice range. Let's see how it does in its first major match. And I don't know if it was a lucky charm or not, but I won the Nationals with it, so I can't complain about the gun at all.
Yeah, there you go. I've always heard good stuff about Shay's stuff. I've you know, shot with Lesgar down at Pro-Am and seen a lot of his stuff run and talked with him quite a bit. So it's exciting to see something like that come right up.
Yeah, Shay had another gun that was in the top three that was in the magazine as well. I think they had a misprint. But Shane Cooley, which or Cooley, however you want to say it, they say it different in the South. But he finished third place in the Nationals. I think they mentioned that it was built by the Army Marksmanship Unit, but that one was actually built by Kai Customs. That one was probably a newer gun than mine. It didn't even have a finish on it when it competed in the match. They sent it off to finish after the Nationals.
That's pretty awesome, man. That speaks to how well they're building guns down there. That, you know, you can walk right into a Nationals with one and.
Well, he's a really short guy, so he's a lot closer to the table, so you can see the gun parts a lot better.
All right. Tell me about the rest of your kit.
The rest of my stuff is my other buddy on the other side of the country in California, Aaron Butler. He's got Terran Tactical now.
You bet.
You're probably familiar with them. They bought out Foley. And all of his base pads, he tuned up all the magazines for the match, and they ran flawless. I didn't have my 22 under there in case I needed it. It was good to go there for my magazines. Other than that, my whole gear, my buddy across the pond over there in Europe, Saul Kurt, the Double Alpha. After I won the World Shoot, he sent me a whole rig of his new holsters and those cool little mag pouches, which are pretty much indestructible, fully adjustable. I used all of his stuff, and I've been having success. But my sponsors have been helping me out a whole lot. And not only my sponsors, but they also just friends of mine. So, you know, if I don't like the car, I let them know right away.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. How gratifying was it for you to finally pull off a national in limited?
It was a pretty good win. I mean, I've been shooting this sport for, I think, around 18 years now. I think so many years I can't even keep count. I was 12 and a half when I started. So, you know, you start, you're a teenager shooting. I used to shoot with Max Michelle when I was 16 years old. We always thought we'd win the Masters the next year. Or maybe a year after that, we can knock off Gary Barnhart or Todd Jarrett or Rob Deason. And, you know, we're kids, we got big dreams. And, you know, in reality, it takes a whole lot of hard work. And 18 years later, you finally get what you've been trying for the whole time. It's just, you know, my family was there to see it. My girlfriend was there. So it was a perfect time in Vegas.
Yeah, that's awesome. That was fantastic. And, of course, we've got it on Shooting USA, so you'll be seeing that coming this spring.
Yeah, that's right.
A little television to back it up.
The world title at the same time. And I actually have the state title, the area title, the national title, and the world title, so I'm telling everybody I'm retired from shooting.
That's a pretty good year. That's a pretty good year. Something about the water down there in Louisiana.
Yeah, it's a little muddy, and most people don't want to drink, but that's the charm in it.
Outstanding. But I think it's also worth noting, and it's a significant thing, that you're not a full-time shooter. I mean, you've got a regular paying job. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I do every day, and I haven't seen the gun probably since Nashville, especially since in the wintertime. I'm trying to catch up all that time out of the office. I went to law school, became an attorney, then I went into the family businesses and took over all my dad's companies, and we've got a large marine company, which we carry all the supplies and cargo, fuel, and water to all the offshore platforms off of Mexico. Then we also have a bulk fuel hauled ship off of Louisiana on top of some other smaller businesses that we have. So it's safe to say I stay pretty busy. That's probably my main priority. But lucky enough, I still find a little bit of time to shoot. I've been doing it long enough where it's sort of like swimming. Once you learn how to do it, you don't forget. So I kind of tune up right before the matches. Hopefully my gear works. Have good gear, go to the matches, and try my best, and I've been successful at it lately. So,
yep, outstanding. Well, speaking of
gear, I wish I had more time to practice.
You're starting to dip your toe a little bit into the multi-gun realm with the help of Taryn.
Yeah, I haven't shot my first match yet, but my buddy Taryn over there sent me a shotgun. I've got a pistol. I've got some of the other gear. I've got the upper sun AR, but you know, so with all the havoc going lately, I'm having trouble getting my lower, so I've just scruffed up one of those. I need to send it down. So it's kind of crazy right now with all the gun things going on. Everybody's bought up all the ammunition and all the AR parts and spare magazines.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, we've seen it happen before, and it's an unfortunate trend in the industry. And right ahead of SHOT Show, a lot of companies are making changes with what they're going to do. And you planning on heading out to Vegas for SHOT?
Oh, yeah, I'll be out there. Fly out there on Wednesday and stay the weekend. Yeah, I guess that'd be a hot topic at SHOT Show. I know some of the companies out there being goofballs and going all big guns when they made their living off of it. And what you have to hear about that stuff. But I'm looking forward to maybe seeing Ted Nugent out there. If I could see him and Diane Feinstein at the same dinner table, that'd be eventual.
Yeah, that seems highly unlikely, but you never know. Well, it'll be interesting to see if you can apply your pistol skills to the long guns when you do finally get a chance to shoot a three-gun match.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I got to get with Taryn to find out which ones I can compete in. You know, I got to cut my teeth somewhere. So there's no way I'm going to go out there and win the first match, but I got to start, get out there and get some experience with the three-gun range. The other thing is, it's just hard to find the time. I barely have enough time for handgun right now. It's sort of kind of like you have to sacrifice some handgun matches to be able to shoot some three-gun matches. So I need to find a good balance. I'm eager to get out there and try it out. I grew up hunting, shooting doves, and ducks and shotguns. So I got a little bit of experience with those. And I got an AR-15 on Top Shot. So I'm good to go.
Yeah, there you go. You got hey, why not? Talk about that a little bit. You know, you got some notoriety and some exposure as one of the first season contestants on Top Shot.
Like Aaron says, I'm one of the morons that actually went out there in the first season and went out there and did the show. But it worked out well for me. It was a lot of good publicity. In the shooting world, everybody already knew who I was. Everybody knew I've been shooting Gipsy for a long time, a job. But what it kind of did to everyone else, the lay people, just in my community, where it kind of brought credibility to all the things you've already accomplished in the shooting world already. I was a national world-level competitor before Top Shot, but for some reason, just because I was on some reality show, now I'm really the gun expert in my hometown. It's kind of funny how that plays out.
That's interesting. That was, I think, the aspect of that particular television show that I was worried about when they started talking about how they were going to conceptually they were going to do it, and you were going to be sequestered into a house, and they were going to attempt to create personality conflicts. I thought to myself, knowing the group of professional shooters and the circles in which we all run, that's not really going to work. But I think that you and JJ especially were able to go into that world and represent very well in a sportsmanlike and a dignified manner.
Yeah, I was lucky JJ was there, and, he's probably the nicest guy in USPSC shooting. So, and I'm probably one of the meanest guys. So, JJ made me look real good on TV. I'm just joking about that. But, if anything you're going to come off that show with, you might lose the first round. similar to what Mike did. But as long as you leave the show and you have a good showing and you're a good sportsman and you're a good ambassador of the sport, I think that was the whole purpose for going on there.
Yeah.
I think me and JJ, like you said, did a great job of that.
I felt like, I think Caleb did a good job of representing, you know, handgun shooters in general as far as keeping his head in the face of conflict and antagonism. Mike Hughes, who was directly antagonized in a later season.
Right.
You know, that guy, it blew me away. I at that point, had stopped watching the show and went back to watch the show because I had heard about this big conflict that Mike was involved in, and I thought to myself, man, we're finally going to see somebody really lose their cool. We're going to finally see somebody go to the edge. And sure enough, he was able to maintain it, man. I was thoroughly impressed. But that speaks to the type of people we're talking about.
Yeah, Mike's the kind of guy you mess with. I don't know if you saw him out in the rain, but he does a little bit more working out than everybody else.
Yeah.
The kind of guy you mess with.
Yeah.
He's also an attorney, so he knows how to dictate his point.
He's got a YouTube video out there where he's hang cleaning like 315 or something absurd. And, you definitely wouldn't want to grapple that dude.
He's ridiculously strong, and JJ, I was hanging out with him in the house. He can do like 1,000 pull-ups and 1,000 push-ups, and it doesn't even faze him. It's just ridiculous.
Well, he's got that Filipino strength.
That's right. That's right. All the island.
Well, another thing you're big into, a shared interest of ours, is off-roading, and you got a pretty well-built Jeep. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah, my Jeep's in the shop right now. I'm finally getting a chance to finish it out. Before I went to law school, I spent all my life savings that I had and all my time, and I got it built up pretty strong with some Dana 50s and, 42-inch IROC and lockers, the whole nine yards. And I got a group of buddies here in Lafayette. We kind of travel up to Hot Springs where Tupelo has their park, and we go tear it up. I think it was about 6 months ago, actually. Brought my girlfriend for the first time wheeling. And the first mountain we go on, I guess I wasn't focused on the trail. We did a multi-roll into the tree. And we flipped it back over, popped the spark plugs, blew it all out, added the ball, and I wheeled the rest of the weekend. So I built it really strong and fun. Do you do a little wheeling yourself?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. I've had a couple of TJs and working on an old 4Runner these days. So.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
I can't wait till my beef's done because summertime's coming and I want to get to go drive down the road and get on another wheeling trip, too.
That's very cool. And I think it speaks to the type of women you choose to hang out with. That your girlfriend now, if I'm not mistaken, that she's your fiance now. Is that right? Whoops.
Well, you're something else, huh? No, she's still a girlfriend.
Okay, we need to edit that part.
Yeah, serious girlfriend. So, yeah. I won't hold that again.
Well, good,
that's
good.
That's the first time I heard that.
I'm sorry. I thought you'd introduce me to her at Handgun as your fiance. Well, maybe that's in the future.
Which one are you talking about? The redhead, the brunette?
Yeah.
The redhead.
Now you did that. Now
I'm just joking.
That's your foot in your own mouth.
No, that's my little Cajun girl.
Awesome.
I was carrying around the reins a little bit. She's my lucky charm. I don't think I've lost the match, but she's there.
Can't go wrong.
Gotta bring it to the range. Can't get rid of it because if I do, I'll start losing.
Well, let's swing back out there to Vegas for a sec because it was interesting for me. It seemed like it was a much different match this year, primarily because Eric Graffel came and he shot the production match with his Tang Folio, which didn't, that has no effect on what's going on in the limited match. But I think he kind of he loomed a little bit in the open match also. How did that affect your game as you were addressing your nationals back to back?
Well, it didn't really affect my home game too much because I didn't have to shoot against him there. But in the open, it was actually fun to shoot against him. You kind of want to gauge yourself up against the best open shooter in the world, and he's pretty much with all the matches he's won, he's made the statement that he is the best. Somebody come and beat me. So it's always fun to take on that challenge. Hopefully I can get my open gun tuned up and do a little more open shooting where I can take another few shots at him. I know all the Americans are fine. And, it's fun. There's a lot of good Americans. There's KC, JJ, Mac. I think what they have with beat him, I just hope he comes over enough to the U.S. and competes against those guys. We've always got to go compete against him on his home court. And I think if he showed up in the U.S. a little more off, he might not be the dominant force anymore. Yeah, he'd have a 20-1 record instead of an undefeated record.
Right. Well, it was an interesting phenomenon because he stayed around and he turned up at Steel Challenge too, and was kind of gauging all the top dogs who run the open match in Steel Challenge, and nobody gave him any credence there because it was pretty well put that his advantage is in an IPSC or a USPSA course of fire where there's movement. You know, he's faster and he's faster to the shot in movement, but in Steel Challenge, it's not there. That advantage doesn't exist. And sure enough, yeah,
he's very consistent as well. But if you look at someone like KC or JJ or Mac, they got this raw talent, high horsepower engine. But these guys can pull up there and, you know, shoot smoke and hope and whatever kind of time they shoot, super fast. And they do the phenomenal stuff, and it's the same stage every time. They've done it a lot, and they can pull some amazing stuff off where, you know, Eric's quick little challenge. It's kind of hard to keep that to me. JJ and AC and Max kind of got that all figured out, and BJ's real good at that as well.
Yeah. It's interesting. At that level, I think we found the point where Steel Challenge has been shot. Nobody will admit that they've shot it as fast as they can shoot it, and nobody has yet to shoot a perfect match with, you know, zero pickups or anything like that. But I think we're at a point where the equipment makes a big difference, and it's interesting to watch as that starts to play out, because that definitely bit BJ in the butt this year.
Yeah, you can always get better and better at Steel Challenge, and you always know what the score is, that it's the same every time, which is kind of neat. You know, USPSA and IPSC's not that way, so I think Steel Challenge is kind of a more friendly format.
Yeah.
You know right where you stand all the time on that. It's very simple scoring system. I actually got it for the first time in like 8 years this year. I got to watch Eric. I had some equipment issues as well. You know, you probably use a USPSA gun and Steel Challenge. So, you know, we start shooting those final loads, you don't have your gun set up properly for that, and they will bite the ass.
Yep. Interesting stuff, man. It's fun to watch it all kind of play out. What's next? What's on the horizon for you? What are your goals? What do you want to do in 2013?
2013, first of all, I got to look at the schedule I'm going to shoot this year. I think it's World Shoots next year, so I'm going to kind of start planning for that eventually. But I've got some big plans in my business right now. I've been focused on a lot of new projects. I'll be working a lot this year. And I need to get on the shooting range this week to speak and knock the rust off. I'm kind of cool right now. The Florida Open will probably be my first match of the year. I always show up and suck at the first few matches because I just drank and ate all winter and played video games. So I'm trying to make it different, do it different this year, and maybe get the training early and not the week before the match.
Makes good sense. I think if you called your buddy Max up, he might be able to give you some advice on that.
Yeah, he only lives like 2.5 hours away. We can never see him, so I can get him down over here to train me a little bit more. And maybe I can give all the credit to him. I actually did some training with him last year. Maybe that was the extra edge I needed to win the Nationals.
Hey, man. I mean, there's a lot to be said for that.
Yep. But he's been doing some training at my shooting range. I don't know if you knew about that.
Yeah, he had actually mentioned that in an interview that he and I did, that he was getting together with you and they were going to be shooting down there at y'all's place.
Yeah, he's opened up his own training academy. Not only doing competitive training, but he's going to do some concealed carry, and also he's got another guy that does some tactical training. So he's kind of, you know, he's stepping in that direction of training the field, and he's been successful with it. And it's good because I get to see him, and when he comes down to train other people, he kind of comes down a day early, and we train together. And training with Max McHale, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, man, especially if you can get it for the right price, and it sounds like you got that deal worked out.
Oh, yeah, that worked out pretty good.
Outstanding.
But see, since I got my World National title, I've got to charge him to shoot with me now.
Right.
That's how it works.
It'll be interesting to see, too, if you can kind of blaze a trail for him and see if he wants to dip his toe a little bit into the multi-gun arena.
You know, he's been talking about it. I think he's got some guys who was chatting with about building some guns. But I think if my Darren guns show up and he sees me shoot them on the range, I think all of a sudden his guns will start to do it, too.
Yeah, I can't say enough for the Terran built TTI Benelli M1 that I've got, man. It absolutely marks a turning point in my otherwise very club level multi gun endeavor. I just literally can't say enough good things.
Well, the reason I chose Terran, he's been doing it forever. He knows about all those little Ether sequences about all the different shotguns. I mean, I'm looking at a Pinelli shotgun, you know, shotgun shell. You can say, well, these a little high, these a little low. I made a hybrid of it. I put this tube on there, open up this, and do that. I mean, that's stuff I never heard of. I said, you know what, kind of tube I have to take in. I want, just send me the best shotgun that you have, and I'll shoot that. I think it'll work out.
He's the man in multi-gun, man, at this point.
That's right.
Well, that is fantastic stuff, man. Anything I missed? Anything else important going on right now?
One thing I want to get from you.
Oh.
I want to get that Raging Pro-Am video thing. I don't have cable, so I missed it all.
That's right. That's worth definitely talking about. The Pro-Am show has aired, and it's in rerun right now, so a lot of people have seen it. Blake played a huge role.
My life.
And managed to scrape together a couple of stage wins when it really counted, and one of which that was just absolutely mind-boggling was on Batter Up, the baseball stage. So
the thing about forums, when you do that, it's, you know, anybody can go up there and do it. I saw Manny do it for years, and you always want to. I want to be the guy to do it. And you end up, you get up there and you miss a bunch of shots, and then end up sucking and you lose the stage. But eventually, you know. Every squirrel finds a nut. I get up there and actually get lucky enough to hit everything. And the feeling when you run it to the home plate, you turn the gun, fire it, and you get the buzzer go off at the same time. There's that pause of silence and you get ping.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it's an amazing feeling.
Oh, it was exciting to see in person, and it was probably close to 80% as exciting to watch on television on two cameras. It really came out well. So. I'll pull together a DVD for you and make sure I've got that on you next time I see you.
Yeah, I'd love to check that out, man.
You bet, buddy. Awesome. Well, good deal. Thanks for the time, Blake, and we will definitely do it again, my man.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, thanks.
Good luck with everything. See you at the match.
See you at SHOT Show.
Yeah, see you at SHOT Show. That's right. It'll be the first time I see you.
All right, we'll talk then. Well, there you go. Blake Magez, your 2012 USPSA Limited National Champion. Talking a lot about his Akai Customs, man, fantastic stuff. And literally, you know, like he said, straight out of the box, straight into the match, carried him to a national championship. That's big stuff right there. Always fun to talk with Blake. And that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Shooting USA podcast. We're coming right up on 30 minutes here, so that's always a good stopping point. I think our next logical guest might be the immortal Taron Butler. We can talk all things Taron Tactical. We can get his take on the latest movies and other stuff like that. Also, we'll be seeing Taron on Impossible Shots here in the next couple of weeks. The first edition of an Impossible Shots attempt that I produced for the show. And this one is pretty spectacular. Taron does some unaimed shooting. And fast. So it'll be fun to get some feedback, and maybe we'll schedule a podcast right around the event. That'll be a big one. So anyway, once again, best in 2013. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all soon.